Morning to everybody. Really good to see everybody here. Nice to see my mum and dad. I hope you're all keeping warm. Of course, everybody's question right now in Yerushalayim and around is, will it or won't it? Will it snow today or won't it snow today? Who knows? For some people, that's a good thing, a bad thing, whatever. But we'll see. We'll all know later. For now, in Gush Etzion here, there's a really ferocious storm going on all around us. Lots of wind. So let's govern that the power doesn't go out between now and the end of the shear. If it does, then it might be a shorter shear than normal. But let's hope it doesn't and we'll be fine. So this morning, what I want to do is move from a topic we've been talking the last couple of weeks about, very philosophical, very hashkafic issues. We were talking about the Shema, we were talking about the mitzvahs of belief in God. I want to talk now about something today extremely halachic. Which is the idea of Purim Meshulash, the three-day Purim in Yerushalayim. We'll start on that in just a minute. So that's what we're dealing with today. And next week I'd like to talk about a topic we have not yet dealt with before, which is women's Megillah reading. Women reading for women, and maybe even women reading for men. Let's see next week what the story is with that, but that'll take us through all sorts of areas of Hilchos Purim and Megillah as well. So today, I'd like to start with a sponsorship announcement. The Shirim for the whole academic year have been very kindly sponsored anonymously in the merit of an aliyah for the neshamas of Matasyahu ben Yisrael, Aaron ben Menachem Lev, and Eliana Bas Yaakov. We're very grateful for that sponsorship, and it should be, please God, an aliyah for their neshamas. Okay, I'm going to just put on the chat again the source sheets, so that everybody can find them. I put them on just a little bit earlier, but let's put them up again now. Here they come, right now. Again, if anybody needs the source sheets or wants them in advance, please just let David Hochhauser know, and he will put you on the group distribution list. Okay, so we're coming up to Purim. Everybody knows that. No one's quite sure exactly how Megillah is going to work this year. Are you going to be listening to it in shul, or in the street, or on Zoom, or whatever? But we're not talking about that now. For those of you who will be in Yerushalayim for Purim, then you will have the rare treat of what we call Purim Meshulash, a three-day Purim. In the last 40 years, this has only happened four or five times. It happened last in 2008, so it's a rare occurrence. We will be having another one in 2025, so you only have to wait four more years. And after that, you'll have to wait till 2045. So I don't think we need to put things on hold for another 20-odd years. Let's do it now and see how Purim Meshulash works. Now, many of you probably know that this whole year is a very unusual year. 5781, not just because of pandemic issues, but 5781 is an unusual calendrical year. Anyone who's into the Jewish calendar will know that each year has a different classification. And this year has a Zayin Chet Aleph Zacha classification, which means that Rosh Hashanah fell on Shabbat. Both Kislev and Cheshvan were 29 days, Chaser were short, and also the first day of Pesach is on Sunday. Now that, of course, makes for an interesting Erev Pesach, which falls on Shabbat, which we will talk about in a few weeks, because that also throws up some interesting questions. But this unusual calendrical year only happens once every 23 years or so. The last one was back in 2001, and before that you have to go back to 1977. So this year is an unusual year. Why is it unusual? A few things. First of all, because Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot both fell on Shabbos. That means we missed out on the Torah mitzvah of Shofar. Second day Rosh Hashanah is a rabbinic mitzvah. And we missed out on the Torah mitzvah of Lulav, because that's only on the first day. There are multiple cases of what we call Yak Nahaz. What's Yak Nahaz? Yak Nahaz is where Kiddush falls on Motzei Shabbat. What does that mean, Kiddush falls on Motzei Shabbat? It means we have to make Kiddush and Havdalah at the same time. Yak Nahar stands for Yayin, Kiddush, Ner, Havdalah, and Zman, which is Sheyach Yana, which is the order that comes in. And in Chutzla Aretz this year, there are five of them, very unusually. In Eretz Yisrael, there are two of them. Let me just show you an interesting thing. I'll share the sheet. A little piece of trivia, which you may or may not be aware of. I hope you can all see the sheet there. So you see there's a picture in front of you of an ancient Haggadah, not ancient, an old Haggadah, 1609 Venice Haggadah, and you see it says there on the top, Yak Nahaz, Yayin Kiddush Ner Havdalah Zman, because that's where it brings that unusual Kiddush on Saturday night. And then there's a picture, I don't know if you can see this picture, I'll zoom in on a little more. There's a picture of a fellow there with a hunting horn chasing rabbits. Why would a man chasing rabbits appear in a Haggadah at this point in the Haggadah? And the answer is because in Yiddish, the word hunt the rabbit, the phrase hunt the rabbit, is yaktenhaz. Okay? Yaktenhaz. Hunt the rabbits. And therefore, the theory is that this was a kind of pun that they put in there, pictures of people hunting rabbits, whenever it was yaktenhaz, as it were, in Kiddush, they put in the rabbit hunters. It's not so straightforward because there are Sephardi Haggadahs as well that have rabbit hunters, and presumably they didn't speak Yiddish and they wouldn't have had a clue what yaktenhaz was, but maybe they just copied it from an Ashkenazi Haggadah. There's all sorts of things in the footnote there if you're interested. I've put that in as well. So that's just a little thing about chasing rabbits and yaktenhaz. Okay, other things. There is no Shabbos Haggadah this year. There was no Shabbos Chol HaMoed, excuse me. There's no Shabbos Chol HaMoed on Pesach, and there was no Shabbos Chol HaMoed on Sukkot. Also, the Megillahs of Kohelet and Shir HaShirim are read on Shabbos because of the way that Yom Tov falls. And in fact, on Kohelet, we read them on two different Shabbatot. In Israel, we read it on the first Shabbos. In Chutz Laaretz, we read it on the second Shabbos. Also unusual, Hanukkah started on a Friday and ended on a Friday, which meant that the Shabbos after Hanukkah was Miketz, that fell after Hanukkah, which is very unusual, and we read a Haftorah, which we almost never read, once in every 23 years, so roughly, which is the Haftorah where Shlomo HaMelech tells them to cut the baby in half, give one half to this woman and one half to this woman. That is an unusual Haggadah, a Haftorah, excuse me, we don't usually read it. A couple of other things this year, Asara B'Tavis fell on Friday, so we fasted into Shabbat, that doesn't happen very often. Parsha Zohar falls on Truma and not Tzaveh, which means that in Yerushalayim they read the Haftorah for Parsha Zohar twice in a row. Once the week before Purim for Parsha Zohar, and once on Purim itself, more of that in a minute. We have Purim Meshulash, we have Erev Pesach on Shabbos, and also just to throw into the mix, it's also Erev Shemitah this year as well. So that just makes for a very interesting calendrical year, which we're all going to have together. Some of it's already happened. And some of it is going to. So, let's move into Purim Meshulash. Now, as you will know, and we'll see this is not so straightforward, and we're going to talk about hundreds of halachic, or at least 100 halachic issues, little details as we go through today's share. If you live in Yerushalayim this year, then you will have a Purim which is split between 3 days. If you live outside Yerushalayim, everything's on Friday. Now, that brings with it its own interesting challenges, which we'll talk about at the end. But if you live in Yerushalayim, so you will read Megillah and give Matanot Lev Yonim, give your tzedakah to the poor on Friday. On Shabbos, you'll hear the Torah reading for Purim, and you'll say Alanisim in the Shabbos meals and in the Amidah. And on Sunday, you will have the Purim Suda and give Mishloach Manot. So it's a spread over 3 days. So I want to look at the background to these mitzvot and some details and interesting issues that come up with them. But we're going to start with Megillat Esther. So it's good to get us in the Purim spirit, the Purim mood. Let's have a look a little bit at the Megillah, and we'll see why do the Yerushalmim this year not read the Megillah on Shabbos? Why not? We learn from the Torah on Shabbos, so read the Megillah on Shabbos. So have a look. Where does it even say you have to read the Megillah in the Megillah? So let's have a look together on the source number one. The ninth chapter of Megillat Esther deals with the mitzvot of Purim and how Mordechai fixed them and the Jews accepted them. Let's start from the beginning. Al-Kain, says the Megillah, Hayudim Aprazim, the Jews living in the unwalled cities, Hayushvim Ari Aprazot, who live in these open cities, open towns, Oysim Et Yom Arba Asal HaChodesh Adar, they have to keep the 14th, Simcha, a day of happiness, Mishta, a day of feasting, Yom Tov, and a day of Yom Tov, Umishloach Manos, and sending gifts, Ish L'Re'ehu. Now, of course, Mishta, the difference between a Seuda and a Mishta is a Seuda is a meal which is focused on food, and a Mishta from Shtia is a meal that is focused on drink, alcohol. Okay, and we're talking about soda. And we talked a few times about whether you have to drink on Purim or you don't have to drink on Purim. I refer you to past Shiurim that we've had on that. So the unwalled cities keep the 14th. Mordechai writes all these things. He sent letters to all the Jews in all of the countries of Achashverosh, the near ones and the further ones, to keep this 14th day of Adar, the Et Yom Chamisha Asabo, and the 15th, B'chol Shana V'Shana, every single year. Just like they rested from their enemies. And the whole month of Adar, which we'll see is relevant, the whole month of Adar has relevance to Purim, where they had overturned from sadness to joy, from mourning to celebration, to make these days, here we see again, you may mishka, feasting, simcha, joy, mishloach manot ish l'reihu, sending gifts to other people who are friends, umatanot le'ev yonem. And now it adds in, and also charity, tzedakah, gifts to those who are poor. Kimu v'kiblu ayudim, the Jews accepted upon themselves, it says a little bit later in the Perek, va'al zaram, and on all of their children, va'al kolam iblim aleim, everyone comes afterwards, v'lo ya'avora, and it will never leave the Jewish people, liyod oisim eshnei hayamim ha'ele, to keep these 2 days, kisavam, kizmanam, like it was written in the correct times, v'chol shana v'shana, every single year. Final pasuk, v'hayamim ha'ele, these days, nizkarim v'nasim, will be remembered, and will be celebrated, v'chol dor v'dor, in every generation, mishpacha mishpacha, families will get together, hopefully, unless there's another lockdown, but we'll see, maybe they won't all get together, but hopefully they will. Medina, Medina, each region, ir, each city, yimei purim ha'ele lo yavru mitocha yudim, these Purim days will never leave the Jews, the zichram and their memory, lot, yasuf, mizaram, will never be lost from their children. Fine. Now, we had then pretty much all of the mitzvahs of Purim. We had the feasting, we had the drinking, we had the Yom Tov, the Simcha, Mishloach Manot, sending gifts out to other people. We had Matanos Le'ev Yomim. What's missing? What do we not see anywhere there? Megillah. Where does it say that you have to read the Megillah? The one thing which most typifies Purim, we do even twice, we'll see why. Where's the Megillah? So if you look in the Gemara, Gemara asks the same thing. Number two. The Gemara says, Ashkechein Asiya, I found all of the positive mitzvahs that I have to do on Purim. Zechiru Minalan, where do I find that I have to say the Megillah? Amar Kras is, the Pasuk says as follows, V'hayamim ha'ele nizkarim v'na'asim. There is a hekesh, itkish, there is a connection, zechira, between the remembering, ulasiya, and the doing. Meaning, just like you have to do these things, so too you have to remember them. Now, what does remembering mean? And here I just want to mention an important point. Whenever a halachic verse says zechira, zachor, it doesn't just mean to remember it mentally, it means to remember it by saying something. For example, Shabbos. Zachor es yom ha-shabbos le-kadshoy. It doesn't mean we just remember today is Shabbos. We say something, Kiddush. So too, the mitzvah of zechirat Amalek. Remembering Amalek is not just mental. You read the Parsha of Amalek. So too the mitzvah of the Haggadah, it says, Zochor es hayom hazeh asher yitzatem in Mitzrayim. Remember this day. We don't just remember it. We recite the Haggadah. And therefore, here too, when it says, Nizkarim, they will remember it. It's the reciting of the Megillah. So there you find the mitzvah to say the Megillah, not just to remember it, but to say it as well. Fine. Why do we read the Megillah twice? This is all important background. Why do we read the Megillah twice? We don't do any of the other mitzvahs twice. We don't have two meals to give two lots of matanos levyon, and we just do that once. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Shu ben Levi, Chayav Adam Likras is a Megillah Balayla. You have to read the Megillah at night. Ulishnoisa Bayom, and then you have to read it again by day, unusually. And he brings the pasuk in Tehillim. Shnei Amar, Elokai Ekra Yomam, God, I cry out by day, Velotan, and you never answered. V'laila lo dumiyali, and I was not quiet either at night. I cried out by day, and I also was not quiet at night. And you see from here, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who lived way after the Megillah, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is living in the time of the Amoraim, 400-500 years after the Megillah story, more, he adds, according to some Afroshim, he added this mitzvah of saying the Megillah at night as well. Meaning originally, the Megillah was read by day, because it says the Yamim, the day. According to some, it's because the battles were by day, and therefore the real Purim starts by day. And in fact, Rav Soloveitchik understood that Purim, the festival of Purim, really starts in the morning, not at night. That's why all the mitzvahs that we do are the mitzvahs by day. The Shlach Manas, Metalis Levionim, etc. You can't do them at night, Sudas Purim. So why do we read at night? We read at night so that we can, like, prepare ourselves. It's like a prelude, in order to get ready for the real thing, which is that day. You can't just jump into the Megillah by day. You have to just review it, and that's the Megillah at night. And that actually brings some aforshim to the understanding that actually the daytime Megillah is really Midivrei Kabbalah, meaning that's the Megillah that's mentioned in Megillat Esther, and the nighttime Megillah is a pure rabbinic mitzvah. Well, what's the difference? So everybody's familiar with this idea that certain mitzvahs, most of the mitzvahs are in the Torah, that's what we call Deoraita from the Torah. Some mitzvahs are purely rabbinic, like Hanukkah, for example, and some are in between, what they call Divrei Kabbalah. Nothing to do with mysticism. Divrei Kabbalah means that they are received mitzvahs from the books of Tanakh. There are a few of them. For example, Onik Shabbos, enjoying Shabbos, Kavod Shabbos, honoring Shabbos. These are verses in Yeshayahu. Therefore, they mean Divrei Kabbalah. So too, many Meporshim understand that on Purim, the daytime reading is the stronger one, has the higher level of obligation, Midivrei Kabbalah, that's what's referred to in the Megillah, and the nighttime reading is actually a rabbinic mitzvah, which is a prelude, and we'll see that makes a difference to how we view it as well. Have a look in number four. Tosfos brings a number of proofs that the daytime Megillah is the main Megillah. He says as follows, they say, Omer Reed, the Reed says, even though you make a shechianu at night, which we do when they read the Megillah, the Ashkenazi minag is to make another shechianu in the morning. That's very strange. We already make shechianu at night. Think of it. We never do this. When we make shechianu at night on Yom Tov, we never say another shechianu in the morning. Why do we do it on Purim? The ikar pirsumei nisa have a betrius the yamama, because the main Megillah reading, says Tosfos, is the daytime reading. Ukranami mashmakein, and that sounds like that from this verse in Tehillim. Dixiv, as we just said, Laila lo dum yili, I don't keep quiet at night. Kloima meaning, afa gav shekore b'yam, even though I'm going to read it at night. Chayav likor b'laila, I'm not going to stay quiet by night either. V'ha'ikah havi yamama, but the main one is the day. Kevin shiz tira kosav tchila. Since the verse mentions the day, remember that verse in Tehillim? Yom came there before Laila. The gam ikah has suda b'yamama, and he says, so too you have to have the meal by day, not by night. The main meal is by day, as it says below, and he is talking about later on in Maseches Megillah. De im achle b'layla lo yatsi yidei chavoso. If you ate your suda at night, that doesn't work. Hachinami mashmu diksev niskayim v'nasim, and also it says, remembered and done. Itkish dechira l'asiyah. All the mitzvahs are connected, just like the mitzvahs of suda, etc. by day, so too the mitzvah of Megillah is really by day. And the Rambam, even though the Rambam doesn't make a Shechianu in the morning as well, we'll see soon why maybe, he also implies that, look at the Rambam here, Kriyat HaMegillah Bizmana, if you read the Megillah at the right time, much more about that in a minute, Mitzvat Aseh Midivrei Soferim, it is a rabbinic mitzvah, and the Hadarim Yadun Shehid Takanat Nevi'im, and it's also coming from the Nevi'im, from Mordechai, who himself was a Navi, so the Rambam also implies here that the daytime reading is the main reading. Fine. There's an interesting question that comes up actually. What if you could only hear one Megillah reading? What if they only let you out for one reading? This is a fascinating question. If you only have the ability, it applies in lots of different areas, to do what mitzvah once. Let's say a person's in jail, and they say to him, you can only get out for one davening with a community. You choose. Do they choose the next one? Meaning, don't pass the mitzvah by. Let me do it right now. Who knows what's going to be in a week? Maybe it'll be different in a week. They'll change their mind. Or do I say, no, I'm going to save my mitzvah. I'm going to save it for Yom Kippur. I'm going to save it for, you know, the Rosh Hashanah. Do you do the mitzvah now or do you save it for later? Another example, let's say a person is told, a person's not so well, and they're told by the doctors that, you know, you can only fast once in Tishrei. They're told in Elul, you can fast once in Tishrei, you choose when. So did they fast on Tzom Gedalia, which is the next fast coming up, so don't miss it. But then they can't fast on Yom Kippur. Or do they say, no, I'm going to save it. If I could only fast once, I'm going to pass over this mitzvah, and I'm going to do it on Yom Kippur because that's more important. So here too, if somebody says you can only read the Megillah once, do you do it by day because that's more important? Or do you say, no, I'm going to do it by night? This is actually a machlokas rishonim, which takes us into areas that we can't get into. It's actually machlokas between the Ramban and the Baal HaMa'or as to whether you do a mitzvah as soon as you can or whether you save it for a time when you can do it better later. But I just wanted to mention that here. Fine. Okay, let's get into the Megillah. Now, as I said, the Yerushalmim will not read the Megillah on Shabbos. Why not? Why can't you read the Megillah on Shabbos? So look in the Mishnah here in number 6. Let's get into this in more detail. The Mishnah says as follows. Megillah nikreit be'achad asar. You can read the Megillah on the 11th of Adar, Shneim Asar, the 12th, the Shlosh Asar, the 13th, Arba Asar, the 14th, Chamish Asar, the 15th. Interesting. There's more than just the 14th and 15th. It adds in 11, 12, 13 as well. Lo pachot, but it can't be earlier. Below your 10, it can't be later. And it explains a little bit. Krachim amukafim choyma, the cities which are walled from the time of Yeshua later, Miyamosh Yeshua binun, but they were walled then. Korim b'chamishasa, they read on the 15th. And as you, by the way, well know, this today basically means Yerushalayim, although there are a few cities that are tzvekas, that are question marks as to whether they read on the 15th or they read on the 16th. I brought you in the notes some of those cities. There's Tveria, which is an interesting question. There's Akko. There's a few others. Where did I put them down here? I wrote them on the sheet somewhere. You can find it a little bit later. I can't find it just now. Maybe it's over here. Yes, I listed them down here. There's Lod. There's Yafo. Haifa, Beersheva, Tzfat, Hebron, Shechem, Azar. If there are any Jews reading Megillah in Gaza, then that also is a suffix. I don't think there are, and if they are, they better do it quietly. But these are all questionable days, but Yerushalayim is the main day. So that is, they read on the 15th. Kfarim, villages, Vayaras, Gedolet, and large cities which are unwalled from the time of Yeshua, Kariba Arbasa, they read on the 14th. And villages have a special dispensation, which is not so relevant at all today. The villages can go back, and they can read it earlier. Back in the time of the Mishnah, the villages were very small, they were very isolated, they didn't have anyone who could read the Megillah, so they had permission to go back to market day, Monday and Thursday, which is when they also lane, of course. They'd go into town, and they'd find someone from the town to read Megillah for them, so that might be on the 13th, the 12th, or even the 11th. And the Mishnah there goes through all the permutations. But the one I'm interested in is in Bet here. Ketzad, how does this work? How yos ba'arba asa? If the 14th falls on Erev Shabbat this year. Kfarim magdimim liyom haknisa. Now the villages, they can go back like they normally do to Thursday. V'yaros g'doylos u'mukfas choma. But the walled cities and the non-walled cities all read together. Karim bo bayom. So even in Yerushalayim, even in the walled cities, they go back to read on the Friday. Why? Why do they go back to read on the Friday? So the Megillah explains, the Gemara explains in Megillah as follows. De kula alma, miha Megillah b'Shabbat lo karina. Everybody agrees that you don't read the Megillah on Shabbos. My timer. Why not? I'm a rabbi, quite famous line here. Rabbi says in the Gemara here, Hakol chayavim mekriyas Megillah, because everybody has a personal obligation to read the Megillah. They ain't a kol bekiyam mik Megillah, but not everybody knows how to do it. People need someone to help them. Gezeira, therefore, Chazal made a gezeira shema yitlena biyado. They might pick up the Megillah on Shabbos. So yeah, that's a bokiyam lilmoid, and they'll go to an expert to learn how to read or to forget to read it for them. So yavirena arba amos brishus arabim, and they'll carry on Shabbos. They'll carry in the street on Shabbos. Interesting, the Gemara is not so worried they'll carry from inside to outside or back, not getting into that now. The Hainu time of the Shofar, this is the reason that we won't let you blow Shofar on Shabbos. The Hainu time of the Lulav, and this is the reason that we won't let you shake Lulav on Shabbos. So the what's called Gezeira Derabba, that certain mitzvahs, when they fall on Shabbos, when people, they're worried that people are going to go crazy and they say, oh, I need to go to someone to blow Shofar for me, or I need to take the Shofar to learn how to blow, or I need to take this Lulav for someone to show me how to shake it, or I need to read the Megillah, they cancel the mitzvah. That's one. By the way, there's an interesting question. Why do you allow a bris milah on Shabbos? That's a famous question, because why don't you make this gezeira the same thing? Maybe you make a rabbinic prohibition in case someone carries the baby, in case someone carries the knife. So we'll talk a little bit about that later on. So that's the first reason why we don't read on Shabbos. Rav Yosef adds a further one. Because the poor people know that when you read the Megillah, that's when they get their money. This is what happens to this very day. People come round at Megillah collecting money, and of course on Purim, you should not ask too many questions, give them the money. And therefore, when people come around collecting the money, that's when the Megillah happens. So if you read the Megillah on Shabbos, The poor would be all, you know, confused because they can't collect money on Shabbos, obviously, and therefore we bring the Megillah back to Friday. So that's why we read the Megillah on Friday. There were a couple of questions here on the chat, which are interesting questions. Maybe I'll just address them now. Yerushalayim, first of all, why is Hebron a suffix? Because Hebron wasn't walled necessarily at the time of Yoshua ben Nun. It's interesting exactly how Hebron works, whether Hebron, because we see Hebron early with Avram Avinu, but Yerushalayim is the only one which we know for a fact was walled. Maybe Yericho also was walled at the time of Yoshua ben Nun, interestingly, or not for long, but originally. Yerushalayim as a walled city is the old city. You see someone asked, outside the walls? Yes, everywhere, because the Megillah says, everywhere which is somoch v'nira, everywhere which is near to Yerushalayim or can see Yerushalayim, gets extended within the law of Yerushalayim, which is the 15th. And therefore, all of the suburbs of New Yerushalayim read also on the 15th. Har Nof was a question, by the way. When Har Nof was just basically an isolated suburb linked to Jerusalem by a little road, so Rav Moshe Sternbuch originally ruled, he may still rule this, that they read on both days. They read on the 14th and the 15th. He wasn't sure exactly whether Yerushalayim was in or out. Most people do not do that. In Har Nof, they read just on the 15th. Miriam says, you heard Megillah four times. Excellent. You can always hear Megillah even more. Did you have Purim Suda four times? That's the question. But that would have been interesting. What about walled cities not in Israel? So the answer is, that doesn't count unless you happen to be in Shushan Habira. If you're living in Shushan, maybe that counts as the one walled city, which was at the time of Yoshua ben Nun, but that's not for now. I'm interested now in a different question. Okay, so this is the question. I'm going to give you a few different applications, but this is the key. So Yerushalmim read on Friday as well, not on their real day. Their real day should be the 15th, which is Shabbos. So Yerushalayim reads on Friday. And the question I need to ask now, the fundamental question is that the real day? Is Friday now the real Purim for Yerushalmim? Or is Shabbos really still the real Purim, but they were given a special halacha that they had to move it a day earlier? We'll see in a second why this is so important. So again, get the question clear. The Yerushalmim read Megillah on Friday with everybody else. But is that their real day? Or really they're just doing it because they have a special reason to do it, but their real day is Shabbos. This has a number of important applications, which I've brought you on the sheet if you have in front of you, but I'm going to read them through. You don't need it on the screen. There are no sources in this bit. The first question is, let's say a Yerushalmi goes to Tel Aviv. Okay? Yerushalmi goes to Tel Aviv and wants to read Megillah for a Tel Avivi. How would this work? Yerushalmi, let's say, is in Yerushalayim in the evening and then goes to Tel Aviv and he sleeps and he wakes up on Tel Aviv morning. Or rather, actually the other way around. The Yerushalmi wakes up in Yerushalayim on Friday morning, so he's now a clear Yerushalmi, he's not a Tel Avivi, but he decides to go to Tel Aviv in order to celebrate Purim in Tel Aviv. So, now, can he read the Megillah for a Tel Avivi? That's an interesting question. Can a Yerushalmi, who also reads on Friday, can he read to someone in Tel Aviv? Because you might say, well, no, because today's not your real day. Tomorrow's your real day. And therefore, if you read the Megillah for the guy from Tel Aviv, that doesn't count, because today is his real day. Everybody agrees on that, the 14th. But you can't read for him. And actually, there are many Beforshim that says that a Yerushalmi, if you go on Friday morning, you woke up in Yerushalayim, and you go to Tel Aviv, you can't actually read Megillah for somebody in Tel Aviv, because for him, it's definitely his real day. But for you, it might not be your real day. You might just have a lower level obligation, a bit like a child has a rabbinic obligation, not the true midivrei Kabbalah. And therefore that's the psak. If a Yerushalmi goes on Friday morning to Tel Aviv, he shouldn't be the one reading the Megillah. Maybe he shouldn't get an aliyah either, because that's not his real day. Another question. There is a halacha that if you read the Megillah outside your real time, at an earlier time, you need a quorum, you need a tzibur. You need to have 10 people. By the way, this is different from a minyan. You don't need a minyan to read the Megillah, because it's not something which requires, it's not a davashe b'kedusha. It's not like leining or kaddish or kedusha. There you need 10 men of 13 or more. Megillah just needs a tzibur for pirsumei nisa, to make the miracle more broad. And therefore, it could be the women count for a quorum. We'll see that more next week. Women count for a quorum for Megillah as well, because it's not that you need a minion, you just need a tzibur, and women may be part of that tzibur. So So another question that is raised by many Rishonim is that the Yerushalmi, when he's reading on Friday, does he need a tzibur because it's not the correct time? So there are many poskim that say that if a Yerushalmi, and this is very relevant when you may be reading on your own in Jerusalem, you're reading on Friday, you can't get to shul, you're not, this is not really the correct time, you're not allowed, according to the Mishnah Berurah, you're not allowed to say a bracha. Because that reading is not so clear whether you can do that, because for you as a Yerushalmi, maybe Friday is not your correct day. The halacha, the meister, the Chazan Ish, and others rule that that is not a problem, and that actually a Yerushalmi, even if they're reading on their own, can make a bracha on the Megillah on Friday, because even though it's probably not the correct day, there are other reasons, additional arguments to say that that's okay. Another question. Can you have a women's only Megillah reading on Friday, this year? Very often you have a man reading Megillah. I'm not talking about a woman reading Megillah. That's next week. A man reading Megillah for a group of women. So, as we said, in order to read Megillah, not at the correct time, you need a tzibur. So, normally, you're reading on the correct day. But this year, if you're in Yerushalayim, Friday, maybe it's not the correct day. So, do you need to be, if you're a woman, do you need to be in a real tzibur this year? Or can you read it on your own? Can you read it with just women? Do they make up a tzibur? So, I brought you on the sheet all sorts of different opinions there. There are those who rule that this year in Yerushalayim, women should be particular to try and go to shul and hear it with 10 men, whereas normally there would not be a requirement to do that, because again, maybe it is, maybe it isn't the exact correct day. There are other questions, for example, let's say you travel between Yerushalayim and Tel Aviv. What's the deal? Do you have to keep all of the mitzvahs all over again? Let's say someone from Tel Aviv travels to Yerushalayim, okay? And someone said via Zoom. You can't really be yoked to the Megillah via Zoom unless that's all you can do. You really need to hear it live. We had a whole shiur once on electronic sound waves and whether they are the same. But let me give you this example. Let's say a Yerushalmi keeps Purim on Friday, someone from Tel Aviv keeps Megillim on Friday, and he goes to Yerushalayim for Shabbos. Does he have to do the mitzvahs all over again? Meaning again, if Shabbos is the real day in Jerusalem, so this guy from Tel Aviv, he did all his stuff on Friday, he went to Shabbos to Yerushalayim, maybe now he wakes up on Shabbos morning, he has to do it all over again, has the Megillah all over again, he has to have Purim Suda on Sunday. So that's a question. So too the other way around, someone from Yerushalayim decides to go to Tel Aviv for Shabbos, all sorts of questions there. An interesting shaila is, if someone goes to Tel Aviv, to Yerushalayim for Shabbos, does he say Al HaNisim? So that's exactly one of the questions. I brought that on the sheet as to whether he has to do that. Maybe he has to say it at the end of the Amidah. Maybe he has to say it in the Harachamans in benching, because he's now in a Sufik. Is he now celebrating Purim, or did he already do it? An interesting question is, what happens if a bar mitzvah boy is bar mitzvah that day of, or a bar mitzvah girl, a bat mitzvah girl, the same thing, the day of the Shabbos? Let's say your bat mitzvah or bar mitzvah is on Shabbos this year, on the Shabbos of Purim. So if you say that Friday was the real day for the Yerushalmim, so then you may say, okay, fine, Friday was the day, and that's it, you don't have to read it. But if you say that Shabbos is the real day, and there are many poskim that say that a bar or bat mitzvah girl would have to read the Megillah on Shabbos this year, would have to read it on Shabbos. Why? I thought you can't read the Megillah on Shabbos. Well, that was a general gezeira made for the population, but this individual is in an unusual situation. He woke up on Shabbos morning now, a bar mitzvah boy, a bat mitzvah girl, has a mitzvah to read Megillah, and maybe he'd have to read even on Shabbos. And there are a surprising number of poskim that actually said that a bat mitzvah may have to read even on Shabbos, because Shabbos is the quote-unquote real day. So there are all sorts of different permutations and combinations, again, all stemming from the same basic question. Is Friday the real day for Yerushalmim because it's a bit earlier, or is really Shabbos the real day, but Friday's just a special reason why they read early? But I'll let you look at the sheet and get into that a little bit more, because I've got lots of other things to talk about. Okay, so let's get into Purim Meshulash in earnest. So if you're in Yerushalayim, when do you do everything? So in practice, the answer is really quite clear. Have a look at number 8. This is a Shulchan Aruch. Yom Chamisha Asa Shechala Yos B'Shabbos, where the 15th falls on Shabbos. By the way, the way our calendar works, the 14th can never fall on Shabbos. So you never have Shabbos and Purim together if you're outside Yerushalayim. That doesn't work, but in Yerushalayim it can. Ein Koreim HaMegillah B'Shabbos. We don't read the Megillah on Shabbos for all the reasons we've just discussed. Ella Magdim Likros Be'erev Shabbos, says the Shulchan Aruch, the Yerushalmim read on Friday. Now, Joivim Maos Matanas Aniyim U'machal Chotot Sambo Be'yom, on Friday you do all the gifts to Matanas Levyonim, fine, you obviously can't do that on Shabbos, we'll see more. Well, Be'yom Shabbos, Motzim Shnei Sforim, you bring out two Sifrei Torah on Shabbos, because that's the day of Purim. U'b'sheni Korim Yiliyavu Amanek, and you read this Purim reading on Shabbos. V'oimim Alanitim, and you say Alanitim on Shabbos. Meaning Yerushalmim won't say Alanitim on Friday, they won't say it on Sunday, they'll say it on Shabbos. There ain't ois in Sudas Purim, but you delay the Sudas Purim, add Yom Echad B'Shabbos, until the Sunday. He doesn't mention Mishloach Manos, but the Mishnah Berurah brings, then of course Mishloach Manos goes with the Suda, you have to do that on Sunday as well. So actually, Halacha L'Maisa, everybody agrees that that's how you do it. Friday, Shabbos, Sunday. But each of these has their own specific question that comes up that is a doubt. And in fact, if you get into it more deeply, you'll pretty much end up doing all mitzvahs, like Miriam was saying before, they ended up hearing Megillah four times. You might end up doing a lot of these mitzvahs multiple times just because of the different opinions depending on how you feel about that. So let's go through the mitzvahs one by one of Purim and talk about which day they fall and why they fall on that day. Okay, number one, Megillah reading. So everybody agrees, for the reasons we said before, the Megillah reading has to be on Friday, because on Shabbos you're not able to, in case you may carry the Megillah, etc. Why don't we push off the Megillah reading till Sunday? Question. If you can't do it on Shabbos, do it on Sunday. The answer is because the Pasuk says, V'lo ya'avor. You may not allow Purim to go beyond the days of the 14th and 15th, and therefore you can't read Megillah on the 16th. Ah, but you'll tell me, but I'm having my Purim Suda on the 16th. We'll get to that soon. So Megillah reading is on Friday. This also means that the Yerushalmim, who normally don't fast when they're reading the Megillah, because they read the Megillah 2 days after the Tanis, this year they're going to have to fast on the Thursday and read on Thursday night, and therefore they get the joys of fasting through Megillah reading. Of course, the halacha is if a person needs to eat a little bit before Megillah in order to focus, even if they're just out of the fast, they can eat a little snack, something dairy, a bit of fruit, some rice, non-mazonus or a little bit of mazonus, and if they're going to feel ill or weak, they can just have normal food before the Megillah. Just don't miss the Megillah. So the Megillah is really easy. It's read on Friday, straight after the fast. Fine. What about Matanos Le'Evyonim? Also very easy. That always goes with the Megillah. We saw that in the Gemara. The poor people are looking to the Megillah to collect their Matanos Le'Evyonim, and therefore that will happen on Friday as well. There is no Shaila about that either. Somebody who didn't, for whatever reason, give it on Friday, so Rav Zonnenfeld says they can give it on Sunday, and in fact, Chabad have a minhag that they also give out Matanos Le'Evyonim on Sunday as well. The truth is, you can give soccer to people any day, and maybe even should, and therefore there's no problem, apart from Shabbos, obviously, but even though Friday is the real day for the Matanos Le'Evyonim, Sunday is a good option as well, if you didn't do it on Friday, but you should really do it on Friday. Okay, Alanisim. So when is Alanisim? Alanisim is on Shabbos. So the Beis Yosef says, why? I don't understand. You're going to say Alanisim on Shabbos? You're not doing any of the other mitzvahs on Shabbos. You lose your Alanisim during your Suda, you lose it on Friday. Look at this Beis Yosef. U'matati kasev sheminag Yerushalayim, I've seen written that the minag in Yerushalayim, he didn't live in Yerushalayim. He lived in Sfat. L'gabos maz matanos aniyim l'chal kamboi b'yom. Fine, you do matanos le'evyonim on Friday. Ve'ein omrim bo alanisim, but you don't say alanisim on Friday. Ve'ein motzim bo sefer Torah, and you don't lane the special Purim laning. U'b'shabbos yom tesfav, and on the 16th on Shabbos, shehu yom Purim, that's the day of Purim. Omrim alanisim, then you say alanisim. U'motzim bo shnei sfarim, and you bring out your two sefer Torah. V'korim b'sheni b'yavo amalek, good. V'simhani, but I'm astounded, he says. I'm very surprised. Lama lo yomru alanisim b'yom shishi. Why can't you say alanisim on Friday? Shabbat karim al Megillah, which is the day that you actually read the Megillah. And this actually is a good question. Why can't we say alanisim on Friday? And in fact, if someone did say alanisim on Friday, they don't have to go back. They don't have to repeat. And according to some poskim, it's a good idea. You can say alanisim either at the end of the Amidah. On Sunday, some people say that you can say alanisim in the harachamans. In fact, there are some benches that have written at the end, people sometimes ask, why does it say this at the end? In the end, Harachaman, Hu Yaseh Lanu Nisim, etc. Why is that there? Because there are some people who, even though they don't say Ala Nisim in the normal place in benching on Sunday, because it's not the right day, they do it on Shabbos, they can put it in at the end. You can always put it in at the end. That's fine as well. So again, Ala Nisim is on Shabbos. But if you follow this chumrah, if you like, you'll put it in a little bit at the end on Sunday too. What about working? Not going to say too much about this. Even though people, it's not prohibited to work on Purim, it's not a day of actual Yom Tov, it's very much discouraged. The Gemara says that if you work on Purim or Tisha B'Av, you won't see any bracha from the work you do. So which day do people have to stop working? So really, it's the day that's Purim for them. Different minhagim, some Yerushalmim don't work on Friday. Some of you Rishonim don't work on Sunday. Listen, some of you Rishonim don't work any day. But that's a different question. But there's always an opportunity to do that on Friday or Sunday as well. Fine. Let's talk about Shehecheyanu. Shehecheyanu is made, don't forget, not only on the Megillah, but when we make Shehecheyanu in the morning, we have Kavanah, we have intent to cover all the mitzvahs of the day. So what do we do this year if you're in Yerushalayim? So Shehecheyanu is on Friday. But your mitzvahs are going to be on Sunday. So how can a Shehecheyanu on Friday cover you for Sunday? So Rav Shlomo Zalman says, no, it can. It's fine. You can say Shehecheyanu on Friday, and that covers you for Sunday as well. But other people say, no, you know something? As a nice chumrah, if you want to say Shehecheyanu on Friday and on Shabbos and on Sunday, so you say your Shehecheyanu on Friday, or you hear it from the Megillah reading, then on Shabbos and Sunday you have to have a couple of new fruits, or some new clothes. So have some new fruits on Shabbos, have some new fruits on Sunday, have some new clothes on one and fruits on the other, whatever. So some people try and engineer a way to make a Shehecheyanu on each of the 3 days. Nothing wrong with that. That's perfectly fine. Shehecheyanu is a lovely bracha to make. Fine, that's Shehecheyanu. What about the Torah reading? So we said before, the Torah reading is on Shabbos. So there's an interesting question. Why do we ever read the Torah on Shabbos? Meaning, what do we say? We're worried for Shofar. We're worried for Lulav. We're worried for Megillah. Somebody's going to pick that up and run and say, I need someone to help me do it. So why don't we say every Shabbos, you're not allowed to read the Torah? In case what? In case someone picks up a Sefer Torah and runs into the street and says, I've forgotten how to lay. Please help me. Why don't we always cancel the Torah reading on Shabbos? That's a good question. This is not my question. The Tosfos Yontov asked this question. Look at number 10. Chasav HaRav. So he quotes the Bar Tanura. She'ein Kriyas Megillah b'Shabbos. That you're not allowed to read the Megillah on Shabbos. Why not? Gizei Rashem Yitlana. In case you might come to carry it. Ve'hakol chayav b'Kriyas Megillah. Because everyone has to read. Ve'ein HaKol B'Kim. And then not everybody knows how to do it. K'di'isa b'Gemara. Like we've seen in the Gemara. Ve'kasha. I have a problem, he says. Kashali. In Kain Lama Karin Sefer Torah B'Shabbos. Why do we ever lean on Shabbos? Why aren't we scared that someone's going to run into the street with a Sefer Torah and say, help me learn how to lean? That's number Perik Vasra. Okay? And V'chein Perish Harav B'Sol Mopo Parashish V'Yavo Amalek. Aval B'Kriyat Halel. I'm not worried about Kriyat Halel. Lo Kasha, that's not a problem. Zerushan Likrod Balpei, because you can read it Balpei. You can say it from memory. Okay, with the Regilimbo, since you know what the words are, but leaning you're not allowed to say from memory. Leaning, you have to read from the text. You have to learn how to do it. And therefore, he answers as follows. I think the answer is the following. V'nichali, v'mashikos v'patur, v'hakori v'pasha, tzarek l'sadeh osoy tchile parmin v'shalosh. Someone who leans from the Torah has to be an expert. They have to know what they're doing. Okay, not everybody who leans is always as big an expert as they should be, but you're really meant to be. Okay, v'ino l'vein atzmo, you have to review it. V'imkein kol hakorim b'kiyim heim. And therefore, the reason that we are allowed to lean on Shabbos is because leaners have to be experts. Think about it. Every Joe has to read the Megillah. Every man, every woman, not everybody knows how. And therefore, there's a worry you might carry it to learn. But only people who are trained lean from the Sefer Torah. And he says, the same is the answer for Bris Milah. Why aren't we worried that someone's going to carry the baby or carry the knife on Shabbos? Because only experts are allowed to do Bris Milah. The same thing. When it comes to Kriyas HaMegillah, everybody has to read. But when it comes to Bris Milah, only certain people, and we're not worried they're going to lose it. Because they're experts, they're professionals, they know what they're doing, and we don't have the same kind of concern. Other answers, by the way, that are given is that laning is not a personal obligation. It's a communal obligation. meaning I have a personal obligation to read the Megillah. Therefore, I'm going to be freaking out. I need to learn the Megillah. I don't know how to do it. I need to learn. I don't know how. Whereas I don't have to hear the Sefer Torah being read. The community has to organize it that there's a Sefer Torah being read on Shabbos. But I actually don't have an obligation to hear. I should, but I don't have an obligation. And therefore, we're much less worried with communal obligations. For example, Kohelet or Shir HaShirim. That's not a problem. A couple of people mentioned on the chat here. Someone says that they read the same Haftorah 2 weeks in a row. Correct? I mentioned that before. Why doesn't the Talmud make exceptions for places that have an Eruv? Interesting. Because most places did not necessarily have an Eruv. Not everybody was expert in making an Eruv. Even Yerushalayim never had an Eruv. Interestingly, back in the days of the Mikdash, Yerushalayim was not surrounded by an Eruv, for reasons I'm not getting into now. So Eruv wasn't everywhere. Why isn't the Suda on Shabbos? That we're going to get to in a minute. Okay? So in terms of the Torah reading, that's on Shabbos. Everybody's happy. Now, another thing this year in Yerushalayim, normally speaking, you have an obligation to be shoalim v'dorshim boi bayom. There's a mitzvah on every yontav to discuss the mitzvah and the halachas of that yontav on that day. People don't always know this. There's a special mitzvah on Pesach to talk about the laws of Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot, etc. So the Mishnah Berurah brings a halacha. V'shoalim v'dorshim boi bayom, that in Yerushalayim there's a special mitzvah to have a drosha this Shabbos Purim, v'hilchas Purim on Hilchas Purim. So the people know what they're doing. Oh, kachal b'chol, and when Purim falls on a weekday, yotzeim al yidei kriya Megillah. Then you fulfill that mitzvah by the Megillah reading. But again, this year, there is no Megillah reading on Shabbos. So that means the Rav has to stand up, or someone from the community has to stand up and give a drosha on the laws of Purim, which is not usually a halacha on a regular Purim. Fine. Someone asked this question just now. Why can't you have the Suda on Shabbos? There's nothing wrong with eating on Shabbos. That's pretty much all some people do through Shabbos. So why can't you eat Purim Suda on Shabbos? So look at what the Talmud Yerushalmi says. Very interesting idea. Yerushalmi asks exactly this question. It says, Sudat Rosh Chodesh. Interesting. It seems that there was a special minhag. They had a Suda on Rosh Chodesh. And that's also the story of Shaul and Yonatan and David. It seems very clear that was much more of a minag, even very ancient days. The Sudat Purim, Ma'akrim v'loy Magdimim. You make them later to the day after, to the 16th, in the case of Purim. Rabbi Zera, boy, come with the Rabbi Vua. So Rabbi Zera asks, V'yasu oitam Shabbos. So why don't you do it on Shabbos? What's wrong? Have a meal on Shabbos for Purim. So he answered, Amalei, La'asot otam yimei mishte v'simcha. The mitzvah of Purim Suda is to make a special Suda for Purim. Etche simchaso itzluya be'beistin, it has to be a simcha that was created by men, by people, by the beistin, Purim. Yatza, but that can't include zeshe simchaso itzluya be'yidei shamayim. A day where God said you have to have simcha, that's a different kind of simcha. That's not a simcha that you can mix with a simcha on Purim. Now that's very interesting. It seems to be that the problem is Shabbos is the day of Simcha that's in the Torah itself. But Purim is a day of Simcha which is from the rabbis, and the two don't mix. So first of all, that's very interesting, because I thought there was a din of Oneg on Shabbos. Is there a din of Simcha on Shabbos? Meaning you can sit Shiva during Shabbos. Shabbos doesn't break a Shiva. Yom Tov breaks a Shiva because of Simchat Yom Tov. Shabbat, normally we say, is Oneg and not Simcha. The Yerushalmi seems to be indicating that actually the halacha of Shabbat is also one of Simcha, which is very interesting. But that's why it says. It says you can't do it on Shabbat. You could do it on Friday, maybe. No, it says you have to do it on Sunday. But not everybody agreed with this Yerushalmi. The Ritva actually understands that the connection between the mitzvahs and the Megillah goes all the way. Just like we said, we can't read the Megillah on Sunday, because you can't go later than the 2 days of Purim. So too, he says, look here, number 13, Uperishu b'Yerushalmi, the Yerushalmi explains, She'im chal Purim b'Shabbos ma'achrin nesuda ad achas Shabbos. If Purim falls on Shabbos, you have the Suda on Sunday. Kidei she'tei simchas Purim nikeres v'loi titarim b'suda Shabbos. Because Shabbos won't be simcha, it won't be Purim dik to have the simcha, the mitzvah on Shabbos. There ain't Yerushalmi as a borur, and I don't necessarily agree, it's not clear at all. Daksiv lo yavor. He says you can't delay the mitzvahs. Afilo asimcha namihu. And that applies to simcha. This kind of anasim kasuv sham. And therefore, there is a view that one could actually we'll see in a minute, have the Suda on Shabbos. There are some Mefarshim that rule that one can do the Suda on Shabbos, or even should do the Suda on Shabbos. There are some even say that you should do the Suda on Friday. Okay, so most people will say, and the Mishnah Berurah actually rules, no, the Suda is on Sunday, but, and here's the Psak, look at number 14. Amrina bi Yerushalmi v'yasu oisam Shabbos. Why not do the Suda on Shabbos? Here's the halacha l'maisa. Amalei yimei mishta kosov esim chasoi, esim chasoi t'lui bebeisin, yasu zeh Shabbos, bez exclu Shabbos, shesim chasoi v'yidei shamayim. We just saw that in the Yerushalmi. V'hu adir mimeile shishluach manas gam b'yom echad b'Shabbos, and also mishluach manas has to be on Sunday. Ah, but then he says, v'hinei ha-ma'aral chaviv, Rabbi Levi ibn Chaviv, who was the Rabbi of Yerushalayim in the 16th century, he says, Herich lahochia, he wants to say no. The Bavli shalanu ain sovet kain. This Yerushalmi that says to do Purim Suda on Sunday is not the position of the Bavli. The Dasa shehasuda he b'Shabbos, and his view was that the Suda is on Shabbos. The Maral Bach didn't believe in Purim Meshulash. He said, no, Purim is only Friday and Shabbos, and even in Yerushalayim you do the Suda on Shabbos. The Asachain might be Yerushalayim, and that's what he did. Gam Mishloach Manas b'Shabbos, and he also sent Mishloach Manas on Shabbos. Ki Hamanas Heim Me Ha Suda, because the gifts to other people are connected with the Suda. So that's actually very interesting. According to the according to this other opinion, not only can you do the Suda on Shabbos, but you should do the Suda on Shabbos, and maybe even send Mishloach Manas on Shabbos, which is, it's actually again interesting, there wasn't a concern you might come to carry, why not? And that is not the halacha though, the halacha is that the Suda is on Sunday. Many people have a minhag to add an extra course on Shabbos this year for Yerushalayim, to add some extra wine, it's always good to open another bottle of wine, okay? To add a little bit of that for Shabbos as well. Okay, fine. Lastly, Mishloach Manas. When do you do Mishloach Manas? So there is a debate. What is the reason for Mishloach Manas? This is a good review of Hilchas Purim. What is the reason for doing Mishloach Manas? So one view is that it's so that people have what to eat for the Suda. Because people used to exchange food. People were quite poor. They used to give each other food. And therefore Mishloach Manas goes together, hand in hand, with the Suda. If that's the case, it has to be on Sunday. Another view, however, the view of the Rav Shlomo HaLevi Alkabetz, is that actually Mishloach Manas is to create friendship between people. It's to make people love each other, connect with each other. That's why you should always try and give Mishloach Manas to somebody that you're not already close to create extra closeness. If that's the case, according to that reason, you could easily do it on Shabbos. As long as you don't break Shabbos, you could give Mishloach Manas on Shabbos. And again, different poskim have said different things. Some people say it should be on Friday, Chazon Ish. Some people say it should be on Shabbos. Some people say it should be on Sunday. And you can do it every day. You can give something. Some people share some of their Shabbos food with their neighbors so that they can do the mitzvah of Mishloach Manas on Shabbos as well. And therefore, with Mishloach Manas, really, even though they're in Yerushalayim, it's really on Sunday, it could be done on Friday or on Shabbos as well, and maybe should be as a Chumrah, but you really have to do it on Sunday, but the others are more of a stringency. An interesting side question, is the Megillah Muksa on Shabbos? Let's say on Shabbos in Yerushalayim, you want to get out your Megillah, you have a proper class, and you want to give it a read. So normally speaking, the halacha is that Kitzvei Kodesh are never Muksa. That's the halacha. Why not? Because you can always learn Torah. Like food is never Muksa. And even because you can always eat as well, and even a very expensive Megillah or a very expensive Sefer Torah, obviously is not Muksa on Shabbos. Even though you might have thought, well, it's very valuable, the muksa machmas v'yisar and kis, a certain kind of muksa, very valuable things you wouldn't normally touch. No, you can read it on Shabbos. What about this Shabbos, where there's a prohibition to read the Megillah? So the Mishnah Berurah says, 15. So here a pri chodesh, the pri chodesh says, oisa letaltala Megillah b'Shabbos. He prohibits you from reading the Megillah, touching your Megillah on this particular Shabbos. Ma'acha she'ein karimba, because you're not allowed to read it. Aval kamachrin cholkin alav matirin, but many people disagree, and the halacha according to most poskim is that you may read the Megillah on Shabbos. Finally, or almost finally, what about Hallel? Now, do we say Hallel on Purim? We do not say Hallel on Purim. Why do we not say Hallel on Purim? It's the most obvious day to say Hallel. So the Gemara raises this question. Number 6. The Hallel Nami Neima. Let's make say Hallel on Purim. three reasons why not. Lefisha ein omrim halel al neisha b'chutz laaretz. You never say halel on a neis that happened outside Israel. Okay, so you're all thinking, well, one second, we say halel on Pesach, and that happened in Egypt. Okay, the Gemara deals with that. Not for now. Rav Nachman Amar, second reason. Kriyaso zohalila. Reading the Megillah is the equivalent of halel. And therefore, you do kind of say halel on Purim, because the Megillah is a halel. And the third reason, Rava Amar, Bishlam Ahasam Halalu Avdei Hashem. By Pesach, we became Avadim to Hashem, the Lord Avdei Paro. We were not slaves to Paro. Alahacha, but on Purim, Halalu Avdei Hashem, we're not yet the servants fully of Hashem. The Lord Avdei Hashverosh, we're still the servants of Ahasverosh, Akasi Avdei Hashverosh Anam. And by the way, that last section as to how free do we need to be to say Halal is the whole discussion about Halal and Yom Ha'atzma'ut, which we had a shir on in depth. I refer you to that share, it's all, the videos are all there. Are we free enough in Medinat Yisrael today to warrant saying Halel on Yom Ha'atzma'ut? Some people say yes, some people say no. That's the whole question there. But either way, you see with Purim here that the Halel is replaced by the Megillah. So if you're a Yerushalmi and your real day of Purim is Shabbos and you don't read the Megillah, maybe you should say Halel. And in fact, there were those who paskened that you should say Hallel on that Shabbos when you're not reading the Megillah. That is not the halacha, and except maybe for a bar mitzvah boy, somebody who becomes bar mitzvah on that Shabbos, maybe they should say Hallel. And there were people who ruled that the Yerushalmi should say Hallel in Shul on Shabbos, since that was their Purim, but that is not the practice. But that's a really fascinating question. Is there a Purim which does have a Hallel? Maybe this Purim Meshulash. Two more questions and then we'll get to the non-Yerushalmim. Avelus on Purim. So the accepted minhag is that there's no public mourning on Shiva, the Shiva on Purim, even though Purim doesn't break the Shiva. That applies, according to some poskim, also on the Sunday of Purim Meshulash. That's a different debate. And finally, you might think this is a strange question, but which day are you meant to dress up in Purim Meshulash? Are you meant to dress up on Friday? You're meant to dress up on Shabbos. You're meant to dress up on Sunday. So you're going to say to me, well, you can dress up any day you like. What difference does it make? And the answer is this. There are special heterim for dressing on Purim in a way that you wouldn't normally dress. For example, are you allowed to cross-dress? Are you allowed, if you're a man, to dress up as a woman? So normally there is a halacha that you're not allowed to dress as a woman. But on Purim, the Ramah brings down that there are some views that because it's clear you're doing it for the mitzvah of Purim, you're allowed to dress up as a woman. So the question is, if you're a young man who wants to dress as a young woman for Purim, or vice versa, which day can you do it? And let me tell you, I have photos of people who are now very choshev rabbonim, who in their youth were dressed up very beautifully with a skirt, high heels and a shekel. And I'm keeping those for the day that I need them. But no, I'm not going to release them to the paper. Don't worry. But just so that in case they're listening, just so that they know, I still remember. Okay, fine. Let's get into the last piece here, which is what about a Purim for the rest of us? I live in Gush Etzion. We're not going to have a 3-day Purim. It's just on Friday. The big question is, when do we eat Suda? And by the way, this has been a debate in my family every single day for the last few days. When are we going to make Purim Suda this Friday coming, the week on Friday? So look at number 17. Says the Ramah, Kashichal Purim B'yom, when Purim falls on the day, okay, of Friday, you do the Suda in the morning. Mishum Kavod Shabbos, because of Kavod Shabbos. So most poskim say that you should do the Suda in the morning, have a sort of curtailed Suda. It's not going to be such a big Suda. It's going to be a little bit, maybe it's milchik, etc. And then you'll stop and you'll do Shabbos dinner properly. However, there are individuals who say that no, you can do the procedure called Pores Mappa. What is Pores Mappa? So the Gemara asks the question, what if you're eating a meal on Friday afternoon? Let's say you're at a wedding, the wedding's on Friday, you started eating 11 o'clock in the morning, and the wedding banquet goes all the way into Shabbos. What should you do? Says the Gemara, you should stop when it's Shabbos, put a cloth over the bread, I cover the challahs, pick up a kais, say Kiddush, open up the bread again and continue. You don't need to make another hamotzi. You're in the middle of a meal. Your Friday meal morphs into your Shabbos meal. Now, the Ramah said it's better not to do that on Erev Shabbos, on Purim, but some people do. Some people have a minhag too, and the Meiri said that's what they used to do in his town. And therefore, what are you going to do if you do Paris Mappa? So again, when Shabbos arrives, you're eating your Purim Seder, you're going to cover the bread, you're going to make Kiddush, but then you've got some problems. When are you going to daven? You're going to run out and daven, maybe yes, Kabbalah Shabbos, you're going to come back. You're going to daven Maariv later? Are you going to be in any fit state to daven Maariv later? How is that going to work? Are you going to find a minion? Sometimes the Purim spirit, pun intended, does not mix well with the Shabbos spirit. Okay? How does that work? So different people will consult your local Orthodox rabbi. Some people are quite into this. Some people say it's not ideal. And some people are very opposed to the idea for all sorts of reasons. You can work that out. And finally, I put a little bit, what about Tachanun on the Sunday? For us non-Yerushalmim, Sunday is just a regular day. No, most people say that you shouldn't say Tachanun on Sunday either, and maybe even have a little bit of a celebration. I just want to end with an important line from the Gemara here, the Mishnah actually, in number 18. She'echad hamarbe, it doesn't matter if people want to do more, meaning from what we've said today, you can end up doing pretty much all the mitzvahs on all the days, pretty much. It's fine if you want to do more. She'echad shemamit, it's fine if you want to do less and just stick to the basics. As long as you're doing it all for the right reason, as long as you're l'shem shamayim, people who want to do more, people who want to do less, and therefore that's fine too. So I hope you found that interesting. Quite a lot of halachas. I'm sorry we packed a lot into 60 minutes there, but you can look at the sheet. I put this, today specifically a lot of English on the sheet so that you can just print that off, you can see, you can read it. If you have any questions, you can feel free to be in touch with me. I'm not a posek, but you can go consult with your local Orthodox rabbi. But again, Purim Meshulash doesn't happen very often. We'll do it this year. We'll do it in a few years. And then you're going to have to wait till 2045. And for those of you who don't want to wait till 2045, then let's do it right this year and we'll all enjoy Purim. So I wish everybody a good week. We will have another shir, of course, next week before Purim. We're going to talk about women's Megillah readings, which is a very different topic, fascinating topic, and then we'll be into Purim itself, and after Purim, we will look towards Pesach a little bit and talk about other stuff then. So I wish you all a good week, a healthy week, and it's great to see you. Yes?
You say that you can't have a suit on a Shabbat because of the Ein Arvin Simcha.
Yes, there is an element, the Yerushalmi is almost kind of saying that. That you're kind of confusing two things. It's a different kind of simcha. But actually, I didn't see that specific wording. They talk about making, you know, mitzvahs chavilas, putting too many mitzvahs together. But interesting, ein marvin simcha b'simcha. The truth is, you can have sheva brachas on Shabbos, and we don't say ein marvin simcha b'simcha, which is interesting because Shabbos is not normally a simcha. But I get your point. It sounds from the Yerushalmi that that might be more what we're saying. Okay, good. Sounds like you're going to be talking about this all through the week. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you.
Somebody just asked a question. What was that question?
During COVID.
Well, you can send it through somebody who has a green card, okay, who has a green passport. Or just leave it by your neighbor's door, knock on the door, and run away in the other direction. So, yes, there is always a way to do Mishloach Manos, even during COVID. You don't have to give everybody a big hug. You can do it without the hug. I'm English. We don't hug anybody, and therefore that's not a problem for us at all. Social distancing for English people has been just like life as normal, frankly, in many cases.
You could only send bottled or wrapped goods if you want to be really machmeh.
100%. That sounds like a good idea. Okay, I wish you a wonderful day. All the best.
Thank you very much.
Bye.